Let's get to our guest, Carol Schleif, Deputy CIO at BMO Family Office. Carol, when I first saw the Calibrate comment in the minutes, I thought my first question to you would be, the Calibrate comment is nothing. The CPI print tomorrow is everything, true or false. But I'd like to calibrate my question a little bit and put it this way. The Calibrate comment is not nothing, but it is completely overshadowed by the CPI print. If it's hot, well, look out below for risk assets. But given that, what if it's neutral?
That's a good calibration question. I think, you know, the market's pretty hyper-focused on every piece of economic data. And the hard part is what gets lost is the fact that even if we could call precisely what all the economic data looks like and whether or not we're going to hit recession, it doesn't necessarily have intermediate or long-term predictive value for the stock market. It's one, the stock market's part of the leading economic indicators, not coincidence. And the CPI report is going to be basically looking in the rearview mirror. So while it's important because we've all said it's important and everyone's looking to that CPI number to foreshadow what the Fed will do, the fact of the matter is the Fed's going to need a lot more data, a lot more than just the CPI. They're going to need a couple more employment reports. They're going to need a couple more PPI reports. They're going to need the CPE numbers. They have a long way to go as they try to calibrate what their response to this post-pandemic environment is.
Well, tell me here, Carol, if we look at the nature of inflation here as well. You know, when do you expect base effects also to bring the number down?
Yeah, I actually started asking that question recently because I was trying to recall it's been such a long tunnel of the last few quarters with the economic numbers. But we should get to the point where at least the year-over-year comparisons start to ease some because we started to escalate inflation last fall. But the Fed will be focused most tomorrow, we suspect, in looking at that month-on-month number, which they're not necessarily short-term by nature, but they're going to want to see some leveling. And the other thing the Fed, I think, has to its advantage is the beige book and being able to talk to all the companies in their regions. I mean, I spent a lot of time. I was in our home office in Chicago last week, and had the opportunity to talk to a lot of commercial bankers and some middle market bankers, and you talk to bankers and companies are in pretty good shape and there's a lot of cash on balance sheets, a lot of companies that are doing things pretty conservatively. So they're positioning for intermediate and long term, and that's a thread of a story that you haven't necessarily heard much.
Tell me something, Carol, we are running into the earnings season and we're going to be looking at companies and their ability to, I suppose, have pricing power, one aspect of it, and how much they are looking forward to the future or not.
Correct. And I think we'll be listening and looking for a lot of things in the earnings announcements, not the numbers themselves. The last few quarters in particular, people have discounted a lot of the numbers, but really leaned hard on the guidance and what managements are saying about what are their employment costs, what are their employment plans, have supply chains straightened out, what's their pricing power, do they have the ability to pass it on? I mean, Pepsi can pass it on because in these kinds of markets, we all need Mountain Dew and Diet Mountain Dew. But, you know, it can be tougher for some of these others. They'll also be looking, especially by the time we get to the retailers, we'll be looking for inventory levels and what it costs to store that inventory. I think it's one of the reasons why you're seeing a lot of Christmas goods on the floor already, because it's cheaper to put them on the floor than in a warehouse. So there's lots and lots to parse.
In the forecast, nobody's going to be a hero and talk about how great things will be in this sort of uncertain environment. So I think it's baked in the cake. There's going to be some disappointment. I was actually very surprised by Loretta Mester saying yesterday that the Fed has seen no improvement in inflation. And you hinted at this earlier that, you know, shipping prices, commodities, used cars, they're down. Inventories are piling up. That's hardly nothing. It almost makes us think that the Fed looks as wrong now as they were last year when they said inflation was transitory.
Well, I do think they have to take a tougher tone. And there's probably a bit of licking wounds for having missed how non-transitory some of this was and how endemic in the system it was. And so they've stated pretty unequivocally in a number of different venues about the fact that they're going to stay the course here. And I don't think you invoke the ghost of Paul Volcker repeatedly, very lightly, if you're not intent on fighting inflation. And the
but you can't, you can't not be truthful, right? I mean, you can at least acknowledge that and say it hasn't had a huge impact on the overall CPI number. But yes, we see those prices moderating, but they don't say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't chalk it up that they're not being truthful. I just think there's human nature to gravitate towards the echo chamber that supports the view you're on. And so last year, you know, the view was all things should ease and we should see some pullback in inflation, and that didn't happen. And so now for them, I mean, the human nature would be to focus on the points that support the viewpoint that inflation's high, we've got to get it under control, or we're going to go down in the history books as having failed at both ends.
Tell me something here, Carol. When you look at markets, and as you are Deputy CIO, are you seeing certain parts of the bond market now screaming buy, or looking at it perhaps as being cheap for a reason?
We're hard-pressed to say anything screaming buy these days because there is so much uncertainty in the data. The shorter end of the Treasury curve is pretty interesting right now, as you know, and you're actually getting paid to sit in cash right now, which we haven't had that scenario since the meltdown in 2001-2002, where you could actually get paid to sit in cash. But so, and I think that indecisiveness and indecision in the market, we suspect that we're stuck here for a while because A, the Fed needs more data before they move, and B, markets are trying to adjust to a new economic reality.
Does short duration look a lot better than long duration?
Yeah, because we don't necessarily want to take the time risk of being long duration, and you get paid a lot more in the short duration stuff right now. Interestingly, over the next couple of years, this will sort itself out one way or another. We'll get past the midterms, we'll get past another election, and it'll sort itself out. So I might as well get paid to wait.
Carol, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Carol Schleif, the Deputy Chief Investment Officer at BMO Family Office.